Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time it is where you are. This is episode number 25 of Tom Harris USA, coming to you every 4 days from Chicago, Illinois. Ladies and gentlemen, prophecy has been fulfilled yet again on Tom Harris USA. The third of my psychic predictions has come true. If you recall, think all the way back to episode 11 when I made my 10 psychic predictions. And I did have a prediction that the Pope would have to watch his health. And especially at the middle part of 2009, I did actually include that. Well, as many of you may know, just last week, Pope Benedict fell while on vacation and broke his wrist. So there you go. What more can I say? My predictions are coming true. Now, if you recall, my 11th prediction was that I was going to have 7 predictions come true before the end of 2010. And I've had just 3 predictions come true in the last couple of months. I think it's awfully interesting, don't you? Now, of course, I predicted that, but you know how it goes. Anyway, so Monday, I had this really frustrating experience with the train, and my Monday routine kind of goes like this. I get up a half an hour early on Monday, and the reason why I do that is because I go and listen to the Ross Petzold show as he's recording live, and appear on the show as he needs me to. And normally the way it works is, I get up at 6 o'clock, take my shower, etc., get dressed, get ready to go to work. And by that point, it's, almost 7, which is 7 a.m., which is when Ross's show airs here in the Central Time Zone. And normally the way it works is, the show starts, he goes through the show, do whatever bits, I'm going to do on the show, which usually is not that much. And then as soon as his show's over, almost exactly 8 o'clock, I need to be out the door and off to work. And this week was really no exception. And, he started a couple minutes late, but no worries. I can, a couple minutes late, no problem. So I was here and, went through that, did the show, and then left here on time to go to the train. And the train didn't come for another 20 freaking minutes. It just goes to show you, the public transportation is so nice to have. But when it is unreliable, it is really, really unreliable. And normally I get to work like right at 8:30. But because the train didn't even come until 8:20, then I was going to be late. And normally the way this works is I take the train, the red line train, to the end of the line, which is Howard Street, and then change to the purple line and go the rest of the way to work. And it's turned out, not only was the red line train 20 minutes late, but the purple line train was also late. So I ended up being almost 25 minutes late for work, which is unbelievable. And I probably would have been in terrible trouble, except for the fact that I'm always the first one there. And nobody else usually gets there till 9. So I wasn't in trouble. But it is just so frustrating. And I guess that's a common complaint of people who take public transportation all the time. And Chicago's public transportation is generally quite good. I can usually rely on, if I leave here at precisely 8 o'clock after Ross's show ends, I'm usually at work at 8:30. So it's not usually a show. Yeah, when things go wrong, though, they go wrong anyway. So my vacation is coming up, and I know I've talked about that a few times, and I have kind of had to decide whether or not I was going to try to create some bonus content while I was gone, or to try to record a few shows ahead. And what seems to be the case is that it doesn't seem like I'm going to be able to do that. So I guess when I go on vacation, I'm going to be on vacation, and the show is also going to be on vacation. So during the time I'm gone, which is going to be August 14th through August 30th, I'm not going to be posting any shows. I don't want anybody to panic, so I'm letting you know well in advance that there aren't going to be any shows for that two-week period. So there'll be four shows not on. So I hope that people will take the opportunity to go back and listen to earlier shows. Because I know not everybody listening has actually gone back and listened to, you know, the very first shows. And normally, I would say, you know, that's a good thing, because those first maybe five shows, I go back and I listen to them, and I just cringe. And then after that, I think they start getting a little bit more palatable. I guess people could argue that they're not really all that palatable now. But they were definitely not as good, I think, as the shows I'm currently doing. Then around, you know, number 10 or so, I think you kind of get up to a certain level and haven't gone any further beyond that, for better or worse. So Paul, my best friend, has been making arrangements for this trip. This is probably the most planned vacation I have had since my very first trip to Europe in 1980, which was actually a kind of a group thing. I know I've talked about that in the past, but the timetable, I guess, is tight enough for Paul that he doesn't want to leave anything to chance. And it's unusual for me to want to travel that way. I'm very much more the type who would just kind of go and travel on the fly. So the way it looks right now is that, you know, both Paul and I are going to arrive in London on the 15th, first thing in the morning, and our planes actually arrive within an hour of each other. I arrive at 8 a.m., and Paul's plane from Helsinki arrives like at 9 a.m., so I'll be there about an hour before him, assuming that the airline is running on time. And we're going to meet at Heathrow and then travel into London together. Now, we have a bed and breakfast arranged in London, and Paul did all that. He's done most of the planning of this trip, to be perfectly honest. And then we're going to stay in downtown London for the weekend, for this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We're going to be in London. So the good news is that I'll be in London on Monday. I'll be able to go to Belushi's on Monday night for Chris Reardon's karaoke show. So everybody be aware. hopefully not, but Chris may want to post video of me singing on his show. well, we'll see. I guess I shouldn't flatter myself, you know. Maybe he wouldn't want to. I know he did with Suko, though. And so that could be interesting. And I was hoping maybe to meet other people. I know that you know, Mystery Woman and I had talked about maybe getting together for coffee again, depending on what her schedule's like. I'd like to meet up with Chris. You know what would be really cool is to have like a little mini podcaster convention during that weekend when I'm there. In other words, you know, all the UK podcasters have to rearrange their schedules and come to London just because I'm going to be there and I want to meet them all. I think that would be fun, actually. Oh, getting off the subject for a second, which I am wont to do. You know what? I was thinking the other day would be kind of a neat thing to do, maybe for, you know, April Fools or something. Just sort of a fun little thing to do would be to have several of us podcasters, and I don't know who all we could get involved, but as many as possible get involved in this thing. You know, Chris or Ross and myself and Joe from American Talk USA, and, you know, just any number of podcasters, and just kind of get a group of us together, and everybody do each other's show. And I don't mean by that, you know, me going on to Ross's show and doing my show. I mean, it would be like me going on to Ross's show and doing his show. Doing it as he would do it. Maybe that's one of those ideas, though, that it's more fun to think about than it would actually be to do. Because I imagine that would be a horrendous logistical nightmare of everybody getting, you know, trying to do each other's show. But I think that would be so amusing to hear, for example, Ross doing Joe's show. Or Joe doing Chris's show. You know, that's, you know, I just think that would be really, really amusing. And I realize that everybody listens to different podcasts, but there does seem to be this sort of little clutch, that little community of people that I listen to their podcasts and participate in. And I think a lot of us have the same, you know, kind of the same little circle. And there's a few people kind of on the outskirts that I don't really, you know, listen to. I don't listen to James's show. Don't tell James. I'm sure it's a wonderful show. I'm just not interested in musicals. So, yeah, but I just think that would be a cool idea. Like I said, maybe something that is more interesting to think about than it would be to actually do. But hey, you know, it's the sort of thing, you know, to kind of think of. Anyway, after London, Paul and I are going to Tuesday morning take the train up to Newcastle and see the Roman fort there, and you kind of do the Newcastle tourist thing of that Tuesday, and then first thing Wednesday morning, we are starting the Hadrian's Wall trail. And that will be for the next 6 days. We'll be on the trail. I think it's 5 nights, 6 days. And one thing that's surprised me a little bit is that it's actually been difficult for him. You know, Paul's doing all the arrangements for this thing. I haven't had to do a thing, which is very, very nice. And but it's been surprisingly difficult for him to find accommodation. Now, when I did the South Downs Trail back in 2005, I would just call ahead to my next stop. When I, you know, so for example, I started in Winchester and ended in Eastbourne. So it's about 100 miles. And the trip we're doing, Hadrian's Wall path is 85 miles. So it's not as far. So that makes for about a 15-mile hiking day, which is, you know, 4 to 6 hours, just kind of depending on how fast you go and, you know, how much you stop and enjoy the scenery and so forth. And I certainly don't intend to rush through it because I don't think that's any fun at all. So when I did that trip, yeah, I would stop at a town, and then before I did anything else, checked into the B&B or the pub or whatever wherever I was staying on the hike, the first thing I would do is find a phone and call ahead to the following night's bed, whether it's a bed and breakfast or pub accommodation, whatever. And that worked out really, really well for me. There was only one time when I had to kind of veer off course a little bit, and that was near Arundel, which coincidentally is where Play Talk has their studios. But the yeah, I ended up having to kind of veer off the path there and stay in Arundel as opposed to stay on the trail, which is actually a couple train stops away. So it's like a 20-minute ride by train. But up near Hadrian's Wall, there isn't that kind of a structure that you can do that. So we're trying to stay as near to the trail as possible. And maybe it's just that there aren't as many accommodations available up there. Because it seems like we were able to find accommodation pretty easily for the middle part of the trail, which is probably the hardest part. But the beginning of the trail and the end of the trail had been real problematic. So we're not going to be able to find a place in Bowness, which is the end of the trail near Wallsend. But we do have accommodation in Newcastle. But the first day of the trail ends in a town called Hedden on the Wall, and we had a devil of a time finding a place to stay near there. Just incredible problems. We did finally find something. So there won't be a problem. But I'm kind of glad that I didn't put that off and do it. Try to do it the same way that I did the Salt Downs way. But I tell you what, if I do the Salt Downs way again, and I'd like to someday, maybe going the opposite direction, I would really like to do it the same way again. Because the only real problem I ran into on that trail was it was the same week as the Goodwood races. So there were a couple stops along the trail where accommodation was a little bit tight. But I was always able to find something due to a cancellation or whatever. So anyway, it looks like we have accommodation for most of this trip. Like I said, we couldn't find anything in Bowness on Solway, which is sort of the last stop on the trail. We were kind of hoping to stay there for overnight at the last day of the trail. But it looks like now that their accommodation is all full. So we're going to have to go back to Carlisle, either by bus or whatever, and stay there for an additional night. And I guess we're planning on staying there for the night of the 25th as well, because Paul's train is on the 26th out of London, and he's decided he wants to stay till the 26th in Carlisle, and then take the train down to London that morning to get a late afternoon flight back to Finland. I don't know how good an idea that is. I think he might end up missing his plane. But anyway, I need to figure out what to do with my last 4 days. And it's really 3 days because I got a travel day in there that I have to get back to London. But I'm thinking about heading up to Islay, which is where my favorite whiskeys are made. And I'm not going to have a lot of time, though. And that's sort of the drawback, is if I go up there, I'm really just going to be able to see a little bit of it and not really stay there. But I'd like to do that. I'd like to go to the Laphroaig Distillery. I'd like to go to the Ardbeg Distillery. I'd like to go to the Lagavulin Distillery, which is right next door to the Laphroaig Distillery, so I could do that in the same day. And I actually, because I'm a friend of Laphroaig, special promotional deal that I get special emails and stuff. But I own a square foot, the Laphroaig Distillery, so I can go visit my square foot of land and plant my flag on it. And yeah, that'll be exciting if I can do that. It's kind of weird to kind of have this 4 days to fill, and it's not really enough time to do anything properly. It's more sort of if I could go one place and stay there for 2 days and then have to go back to London. So I'm starting to put together the things I'm taking with me, and this will be a hike where I wear my kilt. I actually bought the kilt for my 2005 trip, but for one reason or another, there was a delay in making the thing, and I didn't actually receive it on time. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to. But I love wearing a kilt when I hike. It's very comfortable. It is kind of a heavy garment. I think people don't really realize that. So, in very hot weather, and I'm hoping that the weather we have is not too hot, in very hot weather, it can be uncomfortable. Joe was teasing me on his show earlier. I was listening to American Talk USA, episode 106. And he mentioned the anti-monkey butt powder. So I'm undecided about whether I'm going to go out and get some of that or not. Generally speaking, I don't have a problem with chafing when I wear the kilt. So I don't think that'll really be a problem. But you never know. You know, it always helps to be prepared. It also, I don't know if I could carry that on a plane or not. I don't know. But yeah, that's a thought, Joe. Yeah, maybe. So I'm kind of putting together my stuff and getting her. It's just, I love this time. You know, I'm starting to get excited about this trip now. And not trying to worry too much about the expense. Because I know, you know, I'm looking at losing my job. So my employment situation is not that good. And I'm not really sure how I'm going to pay for the trip as far as my everyday spending money, because I don't think I'll be able to use my credit cards very much in the north of England. In London, I could use them all the time, but I'm not sure if the north of England I can use them very much. And on top of all that, and this just started last night and it's kind of annoying me, is I might have to replace my computer as well. Like I said on a previous show, my computer is 8 years old, and it's been upgraded a couple of times, but it's now kind of at the very low end of what, you know, the desktops are now. And I don't like laptops, so I want to get another desktop. But it looks like I'm going to have to spend that $2,000 sooner rather than later. And I could get a cheap computer, but that won't be good for gaming. And since I am a gamer, I do want something that's going to be able to play, you know, this next generation of computer games that's coming. And Diablo 3, which I know I'm going to be addicted to, just like I was addicted to Diablo 2. I want something that obviously that I can play World of Warcraft on, because I'm still playing that. So, I don't know. So, you know, the money situation is kind of looking precarious. But, you know, like I said, the more irresponsible you are, the luckier you are. So, you never know. Yeah. Hopefully things will work out, though. Oh, I wanted to give a shout-out this time. And I was talking with my friend Peter the other day in Atlanta. Now, Peter is a longtime friend of mine. I've known him since the comic shop days. Years and years back. Richard probably remembers Peter. Because he was one of our customers at the comic shop when we were both working there. And Peter's living in Atlanta now and has mentioned to me recently that he's going to start listening to the show. But I'm going to give him a little bit of incentive, and I told him this on the phone the other day. I'm going to give him incentive to listen because by mentioning him on the show. So, Peter in Atlanta, I am mentioning you on the show, so now you have to listen to it. And unfortunately, all the rest of my listeners had to listen to that as well. So I should probably put like a warning label on it. So, you know, like, warning, this show contains a mention of Peter in Atlanta. Maybe I'll do that. Anyway, Peter has turned me on to the Legion of Substitute Podcasters. It's a podcast about comics in general, but mainly about the Legion of Superheroes comics, which Peter and I are both big fans of. And Peter, I guess, is now contributing to the show sometimes. So good on him. And that's now become my one of my Thursday podcasts. It's funny now because I have podcasts that I listen to almost every day of the week throughout the week. I used to just listen to music at work, and now it's mostly podcasting. So anyway, so hello, Peter in Atlanta. Hopefully you'll like the show and feel like participating. Also, a shout-out to Matthew. I don't know if you're listening to the show, Matthew, but if you are, shout-out to you as well. Matthew is somebody I went to OU with, who I just found out is now living in Chicago. So hooray. Maybe we can get together and have a drink or something. I do like it when new people listen to the show. I suppose every podcaster does. But you know, when you have as low of a membership as I do, every new person has something to contribute. And if you want to contribute to the show, it's very easy to do. And this goes for old listeners, new listeners, anybody listening in the future. Feel free to contact me. The email address for the show is tom@tomharrisusa.com. That's by far the easiest way to contact me. The other way you can comment would be to leave a comment at the website, which is www.tomharrisusa.com. And each of the episodes will have a comment link that you can click on and leave a comment there. If any of you are on Facebook and you're not already one of my Facebook friends. Now, I did say in a previous episode that I'm not going to add people randomly from Facebook as friends. But you can go to the Tom Harris USA podcast community and participate there. But honestly, if I know who you are and you want to add me on Facebook, you go right ahead. I'm not going to say no. Be happy to have you. I've added several people recently, and some of them have not even been regular listeners of mine, but they've actually been following me either on Ross's show or they've heard about my show elsewhere, and some of them are now listening. But yeah, I don't really mind adding somebody to Facebook if I know who you are. Now, if you're a listener who I've never heard of before, well, you know, hey, participate in the show. Send me mail. You know, it's a great way to get to know people. And then maybe I'll add you to Facebook. I don't mean to be a Facebook snob. I just don't want to have a lot of people on my Facebook who I don't know. You know how that goes. You know, I always hate it when people just sort of add people for no reason at all, just because they want more people on their site. But you can look at my site and I know who every one of those people is who's on my Facebook friends list. And I'm getting quite a few of them now. I think I might have close to 200 Facebook friends now. I'm not actually sure though. I'd have to go look. Oh my gosh, I just looked at the time here. It's almost 25 minutes into the show and I haven't even started talking about Noah. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that now. I'm just going to hold off then, and I'll talk about Noah next time. And it now looks as though the Noah episode might be two parts. And the reason why is because I've been doing quite a lot of research and a lot of looking of not documents exactly, but you know, looking at websites, looking at articles, looking you know, at all the different references that I have regarding the Noah's flood myth. And I'm finding so much interesting material that I might not be able to fit it all into one show. I might actually have to do a two-parter, but it is actually becoming more general. It's becoming more a show regarding the creation, so-called creation scientists, and the things they espouse. So Noah is still going to be very much a part of that, because the Noah flood is very important to the young Earth creationists. But I don't think now that it's going to be confined just to Noah's flood. It really is all connected. It's sort of an awkward topic because there's so much involved. And every time you pull on one thread, you end up getting, you know, a lot of other stuff in the mix. And it is a subject that I had kind of intended to get to the sort of creationism anyway, because it's a topic I find very interesting, the whole creation-evolution dichotomy. But I guess I can't do that on this show, so I'm going to have to come up with a way to fill another 3 minutes of the show. One thing I could talk about, actually, is that Pete and I have been seeing a lot of movies lately. That's kind of unusual for us, because we don't see movies all that often. And I know I've talked on the show previously about the comic book / graphic novel related stuff that I've been watching. But we actually went to go see two movies in the last 2 weeks, and we're going to be going to see another one. Now, the one we haven't seen yet is the new Harry Potter film. We went to go see two movies. Now, the first one I mentioned is Transformers 2. Now, I'm not a Transformers fan. I didn't grow up with the show the way Pete did. Don't really care that much about the characters. I was kind of vaguely aware of the comic back when I was reading comics. But I liked the movie surprisingly well, and it is a very exciting movie. I did have one complaint about the cinematography, and that seemed to be that the cinematographer's idea was, okay, if you don't have any ideas what to do in a shot, spin the camera around a bunch of times. I mean, it really did seem that way to me. Overall, it was a lot better than I expected, and of course, the effects were very well done. Transformers 2, if you have a chance, it is one of those movies I think is best seen on a big screen. The other movie we saw was Sacha Baron Cohen's new film, Bruno. Now, that one I have a little bit more mixed feelings about, because I haven't seen Borat. Don't really know a lot about. I mean, I've seen Ali G and I've seen the character of Borat. If you liked Borat, you'll probably like Bruno. If you like Sacha Baron Cohen's stuff in general, then Bruno will probably be right up your alley. I had very mixed. Yeah, I wanted to see it because Pete wanted to see it, and it looked interesting enough to me that I was like, but it really is kind of a one joke character. And the joke is basically, you know, that he goes in and offends as many people as possible. Now, the difference between Borat and Bruno is that Borat was a foreigner who was racist and, you know, anti-Semitic. And, you know, he was out to, you know, embarrass people with his lack of knowledge of the U.S. And Bruno is sort of the same thing, except with jokes about gay sex. So if you're interested in Sacha Baron Cohen stuff, go see Bruno. You'll probably like it. If you're not, then you might not so much. I thought it was a bit mindless. I did laugh out loud a couple times, though, and it is hard to make me laugh out loud in the movie theater. But it did actually, you know, some of the bits were actually very funny. In sort of that embarrassed kind of way. Like, I can't believe I'm laughing at this. Anyway, now that I've filled up that last 3 minutes, I just want to thank you all for listening, and hope to see you next time. This is Tom Harris from Tom Harris USA, signing off.